Good morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate the songs that Steve picked. There were just so many of them that go so hand in hand with the lesson this morning. I appreciate that. Want to welcome everybody. We're glad that we have a number of visitors with us. We're awful glad to have that. We're glad Charlotte's with us. But there again, I'd have been surprised if she wasn't here. Only been out of the hospital not quite 24 hours, but here with us worshiping today. We're glad of that. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Colossians, the third chapter. We're going to look at the chapter that Garrett read the scripture reading from. While you're turning there, I'm looking forward to it. It sounds like by next Sunday we'll have the projector and the PowerPoint up and working. Looking forward to that. To be able to have the outlines not only printed, but up on the screen where you can follow along. And I'm sure the song leaders will probably be able to utilize, you know, the song numbers and so forth up there. But looking forward to being able to venture into that and be able to have some visuals and some maps and charts and graphs and so forth that go along with the lessons. Going to Colossians, the third chapter, this was written by Paul to the Christians in Colossae, and we're going to be looking, if you grabbed the outline, we're going to be taking our lesson mostly from Colossians 3, 1 through 17. The first 17 verses there, we'll be looking at some other verses that coincide with it. But starting off there in verse 1, Paul says, "If then," and this is conditional kind of, "if then you were raised with Christ," and he's talking about if you were raised with him in baptism. You know, if you were buried with him, and then if you were raised up with him, like he was raised up from the grave to a new life, if you have done that, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. If you are a Christian, you need to seek those things which are above. And it says, where Christ is. That is a good target for us to shoot for. That is a good focus of ours. Focus on, if you're a Christian, Paul says, focus on the things which are above, not of this world. Focus on the things which are above, because that's where Christ is. And it says, sitting at the right hand of God. How appropriate that Jesus, who died for our sins, that has been with God from the beginning, is at the proper place, sitting at the right hand of God, the position of authority. If you were buried with Christ in baptism, and raised up anew like Christ conquered death, look and seek those things which are above. He goes on to say, set your mind on things above. And that's the key, is that mindset, the focus, our attitude. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And we know there's a difference.
Amen.
We know there's a difference. We can be in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. There's no escaping until death. We've got to be in this world, but we don't have to be of it. And Paul is telling them, those of you that are Christians, that have been raised with Christ through baptism, you set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died. You died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, and he's saying this as it should be. Christ should be our life. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. we follow Jesus's example, the symbolism, that just as Christ died, he was crucified, and the thing is, he could have gotten out of it. That's the key. He just wasn't killed. He could have gotten out of it. He chose to go along with it. He died, he was buried, and he was raised up. He conquered death. And just like us, when we die, we chose to put an end to that life. We're buried with Christ in baptism. And when we came up out of the water, to walk in newness of life. And here, when Christ, who is our life, appears, when he appears again, then you also will appear with him in glory. Those are still waiting for us to happen. We've already done part of it. But we're still waiting that when Christ appears again, we will get to appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. It's a decision. You put to death those members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I don't know how many times I've read that verse. And in studying for this lesson, it jumped out at me. Covetousness, that those evil desires of what others have about things. When you covet things, it says, which is idolatry. I would never think of myself as an idol worshiper. I would never think of myself as an idolater like the people in Colossae would know who they were, that had the little shrines and the altars and this and that. I would never think of myself as that. But if I covet things, it says, which is idolatry. You're putting something, anything, ahead and before God. Turn to Romans. We're gonna mark or put your thumb. Keep it in Colossians, but turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. This is not just a concept that is unique to the Christians in Colossae. We see it here to the Christians in Rome. It applies to us today in 2015. Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, Paul is telling the Christians in Rome, don't be conformed, taking on the appearance. I don't know if I haven't seen them lately. I'm sure they probably still have. Remember, I'm probably dating myself. Remember the old Jell-O molds? My mom had a number of Jell-O molds. I don't ever remember, because I think it would just be too weird. She had a fish. Why would anybody want to eat Jell-O that's shaped like a fish? But I remember oftentimes we'd use the pineapple one. And she'd either use usually orange Jell-O and crushed pineapple in it. And that Jell-O would take the exact form. It would conform to the mold. And when before the Eubank kids started tearing into it, it looked just like the mold. Paul is saying, don't be conformed. Don't take on the appearance. Don't shape yourself to be like the world.
Amen.
But be transformed. Transform is change. We had a lesson probably a year and a half ago, about being transformed. And it's changed. You think of those movies, the Transformers, and those machines, they literally totally change form and function. And Paul is saying, be transformed rather than conformed. Why? Well, one, by the renewing of your how by the renewing of your mind, but why, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we can prove by being transformed and changed, we will prove to who? One, to others. There's a lot of people that know that we become Christians, and sometimes they either see that we're still the same old way or that we've changed. We can prove to them that we've changed, that we're not the same old person. I hope we're not. And also we can prove to God. That's who we're wanting to prove it to more than anything, to show God that his sacrifice was worth it. Romans 6, going back a few chapters, Romans 6, starting in verse 12, Paul writes, "Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body." Don't let that be what's controlling you, that you should obey its lusts. "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Instruments, I think of a musical instrument. Hannah plays the flute in the school band. I've never heard her play. I'm assuming she's a pretty good flute player. Well, we got some rebuttals over here, but I'm assuming she's good. It's only Daryl. A musical instrument done wrong, not used in the way it should be, is just racket. You could give me any musical instrument, I could blow into it, bang on it, or whatever, it would be racket. But used properly, as Paul is telling us, use your lives, the members of our lives, properly as instruments, as a tool for righteousness to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, again, this is Paul writing to a different group of people, the Christians in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 9, it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived." This passage here, I don't know about you. I personally have no problem writing in, underlining, highlighting things in your Bible.
Amen.
That's, you hopefully will go through a few Bibles in your lifetime. I'm trying to find, David Phillips hooked me up with this. It's falling. I'm hoping I can get a rebound, because I don't want to have to start putting all the notes in again. I'll just get a new cover for it. That's easy. I've got it underlined in my Bible. Do not be deceived. Don't be deceived about this. The unrighteous are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. It goes on, it says, "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous." And then I keep thinking about the covetous, which is idolatry. "Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Don't be deceived about that.
Amen.
And I love this. This is another remarkable part. "And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." They've repented. That's a beautiful story right there. Some were slated in a group of people that are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Some were such as you. But you've changed.
Amen.
You've changed. I hope we've changed. I hope we're not the same old people we've always been. I hope we're getting better. And it goes on, going back, go back to Colossians. It goes on to say in verse 6. Those verses that we looked at outside of Colossians were just scriptures that reinforced the same principle Paul talked about in Colossians, the first 5 verses. Now we're back in Colossians, and he says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Remember, don't be deceived. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon those. People say, well, I believe in a God that's loving. So do I. Amen. He loved us so much that he sent his son to let us escape the punishment. But if he gave his own son, don't you think doesn't he have the right to reserve wrath for those that by the way they live, by the way they respond to the word of God, it's just a slap in the face. He's reserving wrath for people that have turned against his son. He gave his son to die for us. And it says, which is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked. Again, repentance. Amen. When you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things. Put them off. Get rid of them. Unshackle yourselves from all these. Anger. Wrath. Malice. Blasphemy. Filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. It's not enough to just, if you've got a vessel and you've got impure items in the vessel, it's not enough just to empty it. We're told to put off those things. It's not enough just to empty it. We have to put on something. We have to take off the bad and put on the new. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew. Listen to this list here. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. The Word of God and the blood of Christ transcends nationalities. It transcends race, gender, income level, ability level, culture. As I look at I think I counted 75 this morning. As I look at our 75 people here today, we've got such backgrounds. We've got such age groupings. We've got male, female, people born from all over, originally from all over different parts of this country and other countries. There is no difference in God's eyes. Because Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, because of that, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. It's not good enough just to take off the bad. We've got to actually replace it with the good. He goes on to say in verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you. But you don't know what they said to me. You don't know how they've treated me. You don't know how they gossiped about me. Can anything we say about another be worse than what was done to Jesus? But Jesus, you don't understand. You don't understand how rudely that person is. He doesn't understand. You'd make an exception for me, Jesus. You don't understand how rude people were. Or they ignored me. They beat Jesus nearly to death and then crucified him. They spit upon the Son of God. And our verse earlier about the wrath of God is stored up for them. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Paul doesn't say, you know, if you can bring yourself to it at the right time, he says, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Not only were we called to one body, but it says be thankful. The more thankful we are, and I mean truly thankful, the more thankful we are, the less likely we are to get caught up in worldly things. Because if we focus on what Jesus has done for us, if you're really thinking about that, how can you not be thankful? And if you're focusing on that, you're not doing the worldly things. And the more thankful we are, the more we understand and realize what it is Jesus did for us. We're more likely to look at others differently. If we truly understand what God did by sending his Son and what Jesus did by dying for us, we will look at people differently. Leave your thumb in Colossians. Turn over to Philippians 4. It's attitude. It's a mindset. Philippians 4, starting in verse 6. Paul writes to the Christians in Philippi. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Again, we see that concept of being thankful. Let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, and here you see this mindset. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. If we're focusing on that, we're not going to get caught up in the mire and the muck of this world.
Amen.
The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. What a great example that Paul could say, the things you've seen in me, the things you've heard from me, the ways you've seen me live. As he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And the God of peace will be with you if you do that. Why meditate on these? Because it's one body. We are of one body. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6. Paul says, there is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. I got to stop there for just a second. There's only one. Not like the world teaches, oh, we're all going to heaven just in different ways. There's lots of different paths. There's one body. There's one spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Go back to Colossians. Colossians 3:16. Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. How are you going to let do that? Is God going to sprinkle you with angel dust and little fairy sparkles? And it's just going to soak in? You let the word of Christ dwell in you through study, by keeping your nose in the book. I've heard people praise other Christians. You are just so smart. I do that all the time with Stacy. You know so much. Well, it's not like she goes to bed and lays on the Bible and it just osmosis comes to. She studies. People study the word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks again to God the Father through him. It is so easy to have compartmentalized lives. And a lot of times we do. We put a hat on to go to work. And we have to do certain things at work, and we're one way at work. And then when we get off work, and we put another hat on to go home, and we're another way at home. And then we go to the store, and we're another way. And then we come to church, and we're another. We have little compartmentalized lives. It's easy to get caught up into. Paul says, whatever you do, in word, the things we say, or in deed, our actions, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm ashamed to say, I could not say that everything I have done in the last few days I'd be ashamed to say it was in the name of the Lord. Losing my temper. Getting somebody told over the phone that was a complete imbecile. Was I right? Yeah, I was right. Did I do it in the right way? No. They were an imbecile. And they were wrong. But could I say that I did it in the name of the Lord? Absolutely not. Or if I did, it'd be an embarrassment to myself and to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God, the Father through him. Leave your thumb there. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Because of whatever we do in word or deed, we got to remember we're representing God. We're representing Christ. We're letting our light shine. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We are a representative. People see Christ through us, and hopefully in a good light. As though God were pleading with us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And as it said in Ephesians, there is one body. Everything we do for that body. And God adds you to that body when you're baptized. Acts 2:47. God was adding daily to those in the church who were being saved. If you're not a Christian, you're not of that one body. Hate to shock you if that is shocking to you. If you're not baptized into that body, if God has not added you, you're not part of that body. If you need to be baptized today, it's a perfect time, perfect day. Beautiful day to be baptized. If you are baptized and you need strength to help walk that narrow way, you are baptized, you are a Christian, you have been added to that body by God. You're trying to run that race with one foot still in the world. Repent. Shed off. Put off that old man. Live like a Christian. If you need prayers of the congregation, if there are those of you that have been worshiping with us and would like to identify as, you know, you're not a member of the South Valley Church of Christ. We're the kingdom of God. Amen. We're the church. We're the church that meets here. We're the church that meets elsewhere. But if you'd like to identify with working with us here at the South Valley Church of Christ, we welcome you. Please let your needs be known. Whatever your need, let your needs be known as we stand together and sing.